G'day everyone and welcome to your Friday edition of The Rush Hour. On this, well, what would you say, a coolish sort of Friday? When is this warm weather just going to come and stay? We've all had a gutsful, but a couple of people I haven't had a gutsful of, and that's firstly you, Emma G. Welcome.
Thanks, Greg. Likewise. Now, happy to be here, like the rest of our team.
That's right. Well, what's going on, G? We are literally falling apart. Jars is not here today.
Yep.
So he's, I don't know what he's doing. We won't go there, but it might be a family matter. So hopefully he's okay. Bernie, he's on holidays. I shouldn't be here either. I got a splitting headache.
All right.
Anyone else?
You're the glue. Still, you're keeping us together, Greg. Right.
But we are joined by the pig, Rocky, the rock star, Tommy Rockcliffe. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. It's on its knees, isn't it?
Yeah.
The rush hour, so scraped the bottom of the barrel and got me in. But looking forward to the show. Very action-packed.
Isn't it just? What have you been up to today, please?
Today, very low-key, couple of crook boys at home, so they're just battling on through. Two kids at home, five-year-old
and
1-year-old.
That's good fun when both of them are under the weather.
Both down and out, so a lot of cartoons on the TV at the moment, Bluey, so it was very nice to come in here this afternoon and see some sport on the TVs and a big weekend up in New South Wales, Bathurst.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the latest? What's happening today at Bathurst? Because it all happens, of course, over the weekend, but what's today? Practice sessions, is it?
Yeah, practice and qualifying's on right now, so it's been bucketing down all day by the looks of it, and you qualify for the top 10 shootout, so this afternoon's actually really important for the shootout tomorrow afternoon, so that's just gotten underway.
East Coast going pretty well. The last 12 months ago.
Rocky,
have you seen anything? You lived in Brisbane for a long time.
Yeah, nothing like this. Nothing like this.
Brutal.
I think Sydney broke their record yesterday for the most rain ever in a year, and they've still got 2 or 3 months to go and a downpour hovering over at the
wettest
moment.
Year in history ever.
We shouldn't complain too much here, should
That's
we, G, really? I mean, it has been a coldish sort of winter, but they've done it tough on the seaboard. Hey, some cricket going on as well. The Redbacks taking on Victoria in the first Shield game of the year for the Redbacks. Victoria bowled out for 310 this year. South Australia 5 for 172, Rocky, in reply. And our man, your man, Dead Set Legends, not working tomorrow.
He's not our man.
You've canned him, have you, Travis Head?
He cheated on us during the week. We'll get to that tomorrow on Dead Set Legends. We've got Tex Walker in tomorrow and later on in the show, but Travis Head went to another station this week.
So, no.
Yeah, he's got a black line through his through his name.
Well, he made 76, so top scored. So they're up against it, the Redbacks. Alex Carey not out, 39. Off 54 balls, so he's batting beautifully. So hopefully the Redbacks can get somewhere near the Vics.
And Sutherland made 100 yesterday.
Yes.
And they said he was out on zero.
No.
Yeah, nicked it into his helmet, up court, umpire gave it not out, and Heddy got the sorry mate at the end of play from the umpire.
Oh, no. Went on to make 100, so that is costly. As you said, Rocky, plenty on the show, got all the latest with the trades. I'm on Tinder, which my wife doesn't know about, so I'll let you know what's going on
I've come across
there.
You. I've seen you. I actually have.
Yeah, well, this is an
very
interesting...
very shocked.
hope Catherine's not listening. And as you said, at the end of the hour, big Texan, we're going to have him on, so can't wait.
Five.
Yeah, it's good to have you, Rocky, because we're about approaching halfway through this trade period. I've tried to sort of work it through with Jars during the week, and he's just bluffing his way, doesn't really know what's going on. So it'd be nice to have someone in who can tell us what the hell's going on with it. Jason Horne-Francis, of course, is trying to get to your club, Port Adelaide, or your old club. Now, what's the latest with a three-way trade? You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, well, I think something has to happen there, and it has to involve all three. So we've seen some proposed ones so far. Not exactly sure how it plays out. We know North Melbourne want potentially 2 first-round picks and a player. If it's a, say it's a Miles Bergman, I'm just throwing his name out there because he was a first-rounder only a matter of 2 years ago. If he ends up going, then potentially as a pick 14 or whatever he was in the draft, he was a high pick, does he then counter one of those other selections and just one first rounder and a Bergman, for instance, go to North Melbourne? West Coast don't want to get rid of Rioli for nothing, so there's a bit to play out there. And then it's all up in the air, and as we know, trade period, it drags out for the 10-11 days, and they normally fall in the last 3 or 4 days, so they're all working through that. I think everyone, it'll work out for all clubs involved. I think Horne-Francis definitely will be in Port Adelaide colours next year.
Just while we've got you two, are you happy with the situation, the way it's unfolded with young Jason in terms of him not being happy at North, wants to come home. Now, there is speculation that there might be some stuff going on in the background with his family. So I don't know whether you know more about that than what I do. But when they get drafted, it's 2 years, right? Do the mandatory 2 years, and then they can renegotiate, I suppose, or go somewhere else. Are you happy the way it's transpired? Yeah, or is there a better way?
I think there has to be for clubs. I think the way it's set up at the moment, it all favours the players, which you can't have in any organisation, any competition. It needs to be, the clubs need to have a little bit of power as well. And I think you have to put it on the footy club as well, that they have to have a really strong environment and good environment for those kids coming into the organisation. But in saying that, I've always said this, and when I was at Brisbane, we lost a heap of talent through the go-home factor and, yep, and whatnot. So I think there should be, particularly for first-round picks, I think it should nearly be a 3 or 4 year mandate. They get the extra money for going in that first round. So I think it only makes sense that they actually, the club that's invested in taking them at pick one or pick 10 or pick 12, that they stay for a third or fourth year at that club. So I would like to see that change a little bit. I think that it's not fair on the footy clubs that recruit these players and then a couple of years, 12 months into the contract, they go, I want to go back home. I just don't think it's fair on the footy club. So I would change that. I think the free agency thing's good. If you're there for 6-8 years, that's fine. You've given the club good service and you've earned the right to be able to look elsewhere if that's what you want. But I think a kid after a year or two saying and demanding to go to that club, I don't necessarily agree with that.
What about how the trade period's falling for the Premiers, the Cats? I mean, they're just going from strength to strength. They could seriously have a dynasty over the next 4 or 5 years, Rock.
Well, you've got to admire Geelong for what they've been able to do for 15 years.
They just stay up there, don't they?
They stay up there. So Joel Selwood's career of 350, 60 games, there was one game he played blue throughout his whole career where it was impossible for him to win the grand final. or the possibility. Yeah. Like, it's crazy to think that. So They found a way. Their list management's so strong. Stephen Wells used to be down there, a local boy, Andrew Mackey now, who grew up here, played here, and then went over there, of course. He seems to have picked up all the tricks because they're going to land Bowes and pick 7 from the Gold Coast. Tanner Bruin's just decided to go there as well. I think that's been completed this afternoon. They've just been involved in a monster pick swap. So there's 6 pick swaps that have traded hands, so that they may be even going to pull something else off.
God. Now, what about Josh Dunkley? Is that going to happen? Trying to get to the Lions, of course.
This is the interesting one. And the Bulldogs have been really strong on this and said they want 2 first-round picks, which I think they nearly have to give up. How they find them, I'm not sure how the Brisbane are going to find them. We know that they've got the number one pick this year, Will Ashcroft, who is Marcus' father's son. And they're going to need the points to spend on him. So you'd imagine North Melbourne will take him with pick 1 to force Brisbane to use the points. And they've got another one, Fletcher, as well. So Adrian Fletcher's young bloke that they need to use to get him in. So they don't have the picks. They're part of this 6 pick swap that's just taken place this afternoon. So I'd have to delve into it a little bit more to see the points basis and how that works. But they're standing pretty firm at the moment, the Western Bulldogs, with Taranto, who went to Richmond. He was worth 2 first rounders. I would say Dunkley's a better player than Taranto,
right,
reigning best and fairest. So
he set the market value then, basically.
Yeah, I think so. So do they send him to the preseason draft? And that's where it gets interesting, Blue. If they do decide to do that, they don't get anything in return. But Essendon, who he wanted to go to 2 years ago, they've got pick 4 in the preseason draft. The Bulldogs have 11, I think, and Brisbane have 14. So potentially they could send him to that draft and then redraft Dunkley back to the Bulldogs.
Oh, did you follow that, G?
You lost me about 30 seconds in.
Hey, just quickly too, before we let you go, the ruck roundabout. What's going on with the likes of Jackson and Grundy?
Well, Jackson's the one that needs to fall first, I think. So Melbourne want to see what they can get for that, and then they can deal with Collingwood there. I think it all falls to place, but I think the big one, I think they will let Lobb go eventually, Fremantle. I think they'll do a deal with Western Bulldogs, but they want to get Jackson over the line first, and then Grundy will end up at Melbourne, so they'll have the 2 best rucks in the competition over the last 6 or 7 years, and it sets up for a great season, and I think Lobb will end up at the Bulldogs.
One more week of this, G. One more week of trade period to go, so
okay.
Don't go anywhere. Now, G and Rocky and family, I got some interesting news during the week. So came into work at the start of the week and went to Kinetto's downstairs. It's at the base of the building. Beautiful coffee, beautiful food down there, and I just ordered my normal coffee, and the beautiful young lady that sometimes serves me, said, what would you like? And I just gave her my order. And then she started going, I saw a picture of you recently. And I'm going, all right, okay. So I'm just sort of like, and then she starts to make my coffee, and you can see her sort of thinking away where she's trying to
work it out.
Yeah, trying to work out where she's seen my picture. And after about a minute, I was like, oh, well, I went to the AFL. It was actually just after I got back from the AFL Grand Final. And I'm thinking, oh, no, something's popped up. Because there's lots of rumours going around, Rocky, about my behaviour in Melbourne, which was fine.
You and JB were kissing in one of the pictures that I seen.
Were we?
Yeah. One of you were kissing each other's head, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, we do love each other.
We know that.
There was a lot of public affection with Bernie going on as well. Like at one stage, he had his tongue basically halfway into my ear. Anyway, I go back to the story. So she's serving me my coffee, making my coffee, and then she goes, that's right, I saw you on Tinder. And I'm like, hang on, I'm not on Tinder. I don't know, I've never seen Tinder. I've obviously heard of it, but I don't know. Explain it to me, G. It's obviously a dating app, and
an online dating app, so you have to put pictures of yourself on there, and then people in your set age range and radius come up and you swipe left or right depending on whether you like them or you don't.
Yeah. So I was pretty much single for 10 years before I met my beautiful wife, Catherine. Mm-hmm. So there was no dating apps or anything like that. So I haven't signed up. So I'm trying to work out how could I be on Tinder if someone sort of like got a fake account using. But anyway, she said, oh, no, there was a gentleman who you're in the photograph with. So he's obviously said, Bluey, can I have a photo? And I think we're arm in arm. And he's put the bloody photo up on Tinder.
So he's using you to get a
lady. He's using you as his profile picture to get attention. Yeah.
He's put it up to say, I'm best mates with Greg Blewett.
Is that fair? Is that fair? Or is that...
Whatever works. Whatever. I've actually come across Burn and Jars. From obviously some Triple M event, same kind of thing. Somebody used them as their profile picture, and on one side of them's Burn and on the other side's Jars. And it caught my attention because I kind of just sit there on the couch, you know, lonely on a Friday night, swiping left, 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 which is no, by the way, left, left, left. And then I thought, oh, I know those guys. It stopped me for a sec, but it was still a left.
Yeah, so I don't know which account. I don't know this guy. I don't know. Mm. So I'm going to have to go home and explain myself to Catherine now because she, no doubt she'll hear about this. But I am on Tinder, but it's not my account, put it that way. What about you, Rocky? Nothing like that's happened with
you? Nah, nothing's ever happened like that for me, no.
No one's using you for their fame. Okay.
Nah. Not that I'm aware of. Maybe.
Oh, in your heyday, you might have popped up.
Yeah, probably back then.
Back then.
When I had a bit of swagger about myself.
Anyway.
Just be glad you don't have to be on these apps, guys. It's tough out there.
Oh, gee.
60 seconds on the clock, $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 Minute.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's say hello to Scott from Somerton Park. G'day, Scott. Welcome to the Rush Hour, mate.
Thanks, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good. What do you do with yourself, Scott?
Work for the Sample.
Work for the Sample?
Works
okay.
For the Sample.
Doing what?
Just in school, so in game development.
Beautiful. And how is it out there in the schools? Popular as ever?
Yeah, we just had a big school holiday program at Adelaide Oval, Next Step, and 450 kids. It's a big couple of days, and they all love it.
If you work for the Sample, you wouldn't back Barry for Port Adelaide, would you?
No, not this time.
Who do you support?
In the Sample, the Bays, AFL, the Crows.
Beautiful. Crow supporter.
Right. Beautiful. All right, Scotty, good luck. Now, you probably know how this works. So 10 questions, 60 seconds. Pass if you don't know one of the answers. And if time, we'll come back to it. And if you get the first three wrong, we're going to have to shut it down.
Oh, we're doing that, are we?
Yep, we're doing that. All right, Scotty?
All right. No worries, guys.
Good luck, mate. Relax and let's do it. Who has won the Bathurst 1000 more times, Ford or Holden?
Ford.
What is the name of Australian Women's National Rugby Union team?
Wallaroos.
Who was the Adelaide Crows' leading goal kicker in 2022?
How many laps are in the Bathurst 1000?
161.
What is Port Adelaide's training ground?
Alberton Oval.
Which driver has had the most podium Bathurst 1000 finishes?
Craig Lowndes.
Which city is hosting the Japan Tennis Open?
Go Tokyo.
What sport is Callum Ferguson known for?
Cricket.
Which of the following is not a chess piece? Bishop, Prince or Queen?
Prince.
When is the last day of the AFL trade period?
Next Friday.
Whoa. And 5 seconds left on the clock.
Bloody good effort.
Well
Scott?
Done, Scott.
Oh, those car ones got me. I'm not a big car fan.
Well, 50-50, wasn't it? So let's see. G, what did he score?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
Eight. So good. So close, Scott. We can't give you the 1,000, but we will give you a double pass to the Australian Supercross Championships.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No worries, Scott. Thanks for playing, mate. Have a good weekend.
You too. Cheers.
All right, G.
I think we're going to have to make these questions much easier.
Do you reckon?
Question one.
Right.
Who has won the Bathurst 1,000 more times, Ford or Holden?
Yeah, Scott said Ford. It's Holden.
It was question one and question 10. What is the last day of the AFL trade period?
Next Wednesday. It wraps
said
up
Friday too.
Yeah.
So next Wednesday. But great effort.
Great effort.
Scotty. 8 out of 10. We've been close, G.
Yeah.
We've been close.
Averaging 8s and 9s.
Yes.
Maybe next week. We play every weekday on Triple M's Rush Hour at 4:30.
Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Tex Walker.
Let's talk about Texas, baby. Let's talk about you and me. And
now, that, of course, was a couple of Fridays ago now. That was just before the grand final. We caught up with this man, Tex Walker. Welcome, mate.
Geez, that sounded a little bit better than the actual song, didn't it?
Yeah, well, has that ever been a strength of yours, your singing?
Well, when I sing in the shower in the car, I think so. But then when you listen back to yourself, I think, Jesus Christ, the poor ears that had to listen to that.
Now, I've had a bit of feedback about that text, and a lot of people think that there was a little bit of alcohol involved with that. But I caught up with you straight after the show, and you were fine, of course.
Yeah. when you're at the when we're at the pub.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were sipping on your waters.
No.
Why weren't you having a beer?
Well, I'm an athlete, so, you know, got to look after myself this time of year. Summer's coming up.
Yeah. Well, I did notice a little bit of a belly on you.
Yeah, no, that's right. A little bit of bloat, but I'm fixing that, Texan.
Good boy.
Now, what about tomorrow? You're coming in and you're being part of, well, I sort of call it a rabble because no Ferguson.
Juggernaut.
Trav Head's just disappeared. So what is it? Just you and Rocky?
I don't think I'll be a part of it. I'll probably be running the show tomorrow, Bluey. Come in and bring a bit of talent. You know, Rocky struggles to get his words out and put a sentence together. So I'll probably end up producing it and running the show tomorrow.
That's no surprise. We have to produce it normally on a Saturday morning anyway. Our producer has checked out after he does Dead Rush Hour all week.
Well, changed last night, Rocky, didn't it? When he sent out a brief on tomorrow, I was up to all hours reading it. Jesus Christ.
Yes, for the listeners out there, he sent through a blog almost, right. Bluey, yesterday of what happens on a Saturday morning. And it was, how long was it, Tex? It was 3, 4, 5 screens full.
On your iPhone, when you flick down to scroll down, I did that 5 or 6 times to read the whole message. So. Yeah, I fell asleep a couple of times reading it.
Now, we know you'll bring a little bit of entertainment tomorrow, but before tomorrow, tonight, what's on tonight? What have you got planned?
Yeah, I'll be heading out to Angle Park about 8:30. I've got one of our dogs in the final, so we're looking forward to going out there. And it's got good odds at the moment, so if you haven't gone on, you should get on Rocky and Bluey. It's called Top Quality.
Top quality.
Top quality.
Running tonight is it the SA Cup tonight?
SA Cup, yep. So if it wins tonight, I'll be scratchy whether I'll come in tomorrow.
How many dogs you got, Tex?
We've got heaps. Bluey in our syndicate would have probably, I reckon, for a dozen running. We've had a few retired and we've got about for 40 pups getting ready to run.
Wow.
So
jeez.
It's not really a syndicate anymore. It's what do you call it?
Who's in the syndicate?
A few mates from Adelaide. Headed up by one of our good friends, Tyson. He looks after. He's a very, very, very good syndicate runner.
All right. Okay. Well, that sounds bloody awesome, mate. Hey, listen, you've just got back from overseas as well. Now, you've done one of the things that was on my bucket list, and that was attend the Singapore Grand Prix.
I did, Bluey. Yeah, it was bloody unbelievable. The atmosphere was phenomenal. I'm not a massive F1 fan, but I've taken a more keen interest in it since being there. And one of those things, I'll go back again for sure. The atmosphere was phenomenal. And we got to see some good concerts, but I'm going to leave that for DSL tomorrow, so you better tune in.
You're not giving us any of the good intel now.
He's taken a great interest in it since he went to it 4 days ago. He got back, so you've been watching it all afternoon there in Japan, aren't they?
From what I can remember.
Didn't stop raining, did it?
No, it didn't stop raining. It ended up being a little bit like Woodstock 99.
That was race night, wasn't it, on the Sunday? But I thought with a third on the way, you'd be laying low going up to Broken Hill. They've renamed the ground there after my trip up there earlier this year.
Oh, did they?
Didn't they?
They wouldn't have. They're not that silly. No. Jesus Christ. I had to go on as a chauffeur. I had to look after the young boys, Rocky. You know what it's like.
So you weren't leading the charge over in Singapore at all?
Oh, maybe in the end I was, but someone's got to do it. Where are these other two bozos? Why aren't they on the show?
Well, Bernie's drying out, and hopefully he's washing his hair because he came clean the other day. Because he was telling us that he probably washes his hair. Now, you lived with him. Reckons he washes his hair once a month.
Well, that's disgusting.
Right. He hasn't even washed it since he got back from the grand final.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Jeez.
It's full of beer.
You're supposed to wash your hair once a week. That's what my mum told me. Mm. She's a hairdresser, so.
I would be 6 or 7 weeks, I reckon, since I washed my hair.
Ooh. Are you serious? Yeah. You guys are disgusting. Yeah, they're gross.
Jeez, Emery, if I was you, I'd walk out the studio.
Right, it's filthy in here.
Hey, Tex, you been following this trade period?
Oh, little bits and pieces, just waiting for Isaac to get done.
Mm. Well,
bit going on.
We just got an update, actually, now that you've said that. Isaac Rankin will not get done tonight, they said. So we're just waiting on late pick swaps. Is that your intel? They're just haggling over maybe pick 70 and pick 80 to swap over?
Oh, I've got no idea about the pick swaps. I've just been reading it as it's sort of happening. I haven't been keeping up to date that much, but... Horn Francis, he wants to come to the Crows, doesn't he?
Have you met with Isaac?
No, I've met him before, yeah. I know Isaac, so hopefully he gets done because he'll be a great addition to our footy club.
Jeez, he was swanning through the airport a couple of weeks ago. Had the headphones on, the peroxide hair, a few tats.
Oh, you tell, yeah.
Yeah.
you wouldn't mind him crumbing at your feet next year, though, Texan. Hopefully that deal gets done and it doesn't fall over.
Well, hopefully there's no crumbs for him, Rocky. I'm marking him. It means I'm not marking him if there's crumbs for him. But no, he'll be good. Hopefully we can spin through a little bit through the midfield as well. He's super talent, and it'll add to our forward line and midfield if we can get him.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to him being in Crows colours, and looking forward to you being part of the action tomorrow morning. So if you're just a couple tonight, Texan, and the boys normally get in about 6:30 tomorrow morning for a 9 o'clock start. So good luck with that.
I'll be there about 8 o'clock. See you tomorrow.
There he is, Tex Walker. Welcome back to the second hour of your Rush Hour. 1 hour before, pretty much the weekend is official, isn't it? I think once you get to about 6 o'clock on a Friday, that's officially...
6 o'clock? I check out about 2 p.m.
Already on this show, we've had Texan Walker, who's going to join you guys tomorrow on Dead Set Legends. And
we've got Rocky filling in, of course, for Jars and Burn.
Yeah, Jars is just having the day off, and Burn, of course, is having a couple of weeks off. So he's got one more week, and then he'll be back, and the threesome will be back together. It's been a while, hasn't
Finally.
It? Finally. Yeah. Any latest with the trades?
No, nothing else has dropped. There was just a mega pick swap. I think there were six picks that exchanged hands, but news that Isaac Rankin deal will not be completed this afternoon or tonight, so that'll drag out to the second half of next week. Well, the second half of the trade period, sorry, which begins tomorrow. Of course, it goes over the weekend and finishes next Wednesday. We all expect that to go through, but there must be just a couple of little hurdles that need to be jumped.
All right, and just a quick cricket update. South Australia 7 for 210 against Victoria, exactly 100 runs behind. So the Vics are on top at the moment.
Yes, they're fighting back. And we were just talking off air about sayings and what certain sayings, some that you get wrong, some that you get right. But one that I thought, one that we came across on the weekend on Dead Set Legends on Saturday morning was the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Mm.
And of course, we're talking about you, Greg.
Oh, right.
When you came in and your two beautiful boys, Sam and Rory, they came in and they jumped on the microphones and put a we put them to the test and said, do you listen to your dad? And they said, yeah, we listen to dad. We love what he does, what he what he says on air. So we said, well, let's listen to your dad first and then we'll listen to the boys and see if you marry up and see how you go.
Okay.
They love dumping blokes after one game, Dad. Yeah.
I'm going to dump you in a minute. Let's go to Greg from Seafood Meadows. Greg.
Seafood Meadows.
Let's go to Shane at Seafood. Seafood.
Oh, he did it again.
Oh, no.
Seafood. 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 Seafood Meadows.
So you've just got that on repeat, G. Did I say it that many times?
Yeah, you did.
Did I stuff it up that many times?
Yeah.
So then,
Seaford, it's not that hard, is it?
It's not that hard. No. So then we said to Sam and Rory last week, Tomo threw them on the mics and we had a little record and said, let's see how you marry up against your old man.
What's your names? Say your name.
Rory. Sam.
Hey, welcome to Triple M.
Welcome to Triple M.
Are you talking?
Yeah. Seafood menus.
Adorable. Oh, my gosh.
See, that was Sam. Taking so off his old man, saying Seafood Meadows. And you know what? When I got home, he was like, they loved it. They loved coming. That was the first time they'd been into the studios. And thanks for looking after them. Everyone was great when they came in. But when I got home, I said to Sam, I said, listen, who put you up to saying Seafood Meadows? And he goes, oh, I don't know his name. But and I said, was he sitting in that chair that's closest to the door? And he said, yes. And that was you.
I did not put him up to anything.
You got your fingerprints all over that one.
Anything to do with that.
Yeah. Very cute.
You met the boys today, didn't you,
Adorable.
G? They came in as well.
My ovaries are exploding. Yeah.
Now, we want to take your calls, 133353, because Sunrise, that's on in the mornings, of course, Channel 7, Koshy.
Not David Kosh.
Koshy.
Don't go after my man.
And Natalie Barr, isn't it? Natalie Barr. And actually, she was at the grand final. So I was at the grand final with Triple M. And Natalie was in front of us, about 10 rows in front. And about half time, she was up dancing, carrying on.
Really? Like, into it?
Yeah, she was really into it. But this morning, it was just a very awkward moment with Koshy. Now, they were giving away a cruise, all right?
Great prize.
And it was all going well. Everyone was excited, and then it fell very, very flat. Take a listen.
How would you like to go cruising?
That would be fantastic.
Go to your front door, Christine.
Tell us who you're going to take.
Oh, I'm going to take my husband.
Oh, why?
He's got terminal cancer.
No. It's just one of those moments where you're like, Koshy would have gone, what have I just done? And you could hear it in his voice. When
So that's a silly question anyway, to say
well,
why.
Well, he thought he was trying to be funny. Yeah. Like,
but
why,
you see Natalie give him a dirty look.
Why are you taking your husband and not the guy you're having an affair with? Or, you know, like that's what he's trying to
say. Is that what he meant?
But it was like, it fell very flat.
It did.
You know, so 133353, when have you put your foot in it? And it might be often, you know, there's a lot of instances where people have sent the wrong text messages to the wrong person?
I've certainly done that.
Have you sent
a message and then you want to retract it straight away or an email that's
once it's gone.
You're meant to forward an email, but you've accidentally replied to it, something like that.
That's happened as well.
Reply all. Betcha. But have you ever happened to you where you put your foot in your mouth?
Happened to me in England. I was playing county cricket. And New Zealand were touring. So New Zealand were playing England in the test matches. And it was at our home ground, Nottinghamshire. I was playing, Trent Bridge. I was playing for Nottinghamshire. And I think the next test match was there. And Nathan Astle, who's a very good player for New Zealand, he rocked up to the ground. He sort of came out to the pitch and he was talking to me about, you know, how the conditions have been. And he put his hand out to shake my hand, and I shook his hand, and like my peripheral vision, I just noticed something was a bit different, and I sort of shook his hand. I said, "Oh, mate, what happened to your hand? Are you injured, or you know, I thought he got hit in the thumb because it's a common injury with." Yeah. And he went, "Oh no, I was born like it." And then I looked down, and he's just got a shorter thumb than what's normal, and I'm just like, "Oh mate, all right, well, good luck with the series."
Moment.
So yeah, it was a very, very awkward. So 1-3-3-5-3. When have you put your foot in it, David Kosh? Who we love Koshy, but on this morning on Sunrise, they're giving away a cruise, and it went horribly wrong. Here it is.
Would you like to go cruising?
That would be fantastic.
Go to your front door, Christine.
Tell us who you're going to take.
Oh, I'm going to take my husband.
Oh, why?
he's got terminal cancer.
Oh.
Oh, just...
No, you just want that. Just want that... That big hole just to swallow you up at that stage, don't you? I remember when I was with the Australian cricket team, Rocky, coaching, I was at home and the rest of the team was in New Zealand. I was joining them later and I was doing voice messages over a WhatsApp group.
Yep.
But I thought I was sending it to my wife. I was saying, "Baby, Bubba," all this, you know, all the lovey-dovey, all the nicknames and that. And I was sending them to the Australian cricket team.
No, you would have copped
and
it.
I started getting messages left, right, and centre. "Oh, Bubba, love you too." You know, anyway, it was the Australian cricket team. But let's go to Tony at Fulham Gardens. Tony, when have you put your foot in it?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Tony.
Good, Tony.
It was at a Christmas work function. I was introduced to one of my friend's wives and introduced me to his lovely wife, and it was a bit of a fancy dress, and she had an outfit on, and I noticed that she had a bit of a bump in her belly, and I said, "Oh, congratulations, when are you expecting?" And she goes, "Unfortunately, I'm not."
No, Tony.
That is a common one, that.
No,
don't. Since then, I've never ever asked a girl, said the girl anything about their belly.
Good, that's much safer.
How did she take it, Tony?
Oh, she goes, "No, we're not expecting, but yeah, I think I do need to lose a bit of weight."
Oh,
I think
that's even worse.
I was like, "Oh, I feel even worse." It's like, "Well, yeah, I just wanted the floor to swallow me up."
I used to do that when I was a young fella at Brisbane. I used to say to the older fella's wives, like, as a joke, a bit like what Koshy tried to do, like, "When are you due?" And, oh, didn't backfire.
No, never backfire.
Yeah, lead balloon. Lead balloon. Guido from Evanston Park.
Guido, when have you put your foot in it?
Oh, mate. There was a gentleman called Father Dennis O'Malley, as he's affectionately known, down the road here, who used to run the Gawler Adult Bookshop and Products.
Yeah.
Lovely bloke.
Yeah.
I never used to work long hours in there, and Saturday afternoons I'd call in with a six-pack and say g'day, and walked in one Saturday afternoon, and there's one of my kids' school teachers in there. I said, "Hey, how you going?"
Oh, no.
And she went, "Oh, yeah, good." And then shot out the door, and he went, "Thanks, Guido. You just cost me $140. And she left her lubricants and her batteries and her bits and pieces on the bar.
Oh, no.
That's so
Right.
Very, very funny.
And did you see her after that?
No.
No?
No.
Probably better.
She avoided me.
Yeah, I bet she did.
Awesome. Great story, Guido. Thanks, mate. Rocky, I read your article, when was that?
Saturday.
And about, because it's trade period at the moment, right? So a lot of people love trade period because there's, you know, people going left, right and centre, which is, you know, exciting for some people. But I often sort of look at the human element of it. You know, some players don't think their names will ever come up during trade period and they'll be on their holidays and all of a sudden they'll get a phone call from the club and go, you know, mate, it's just the way it's panned out. You know, we're looking to... I find it difficult coming from a player's point of view. You left Brisbane and came to Port Adelaide, and that article went into great detail about how it happened. But are you a fan of the trade period, and what sort of experience did you have with moving clubs?
Yeah, I like it. I think there needs to be a window to be able to change clubs. I think the great one that you didn't mention, but you talk about Ryan Burton, he was in Las Vegas, had no idea, and ends up at Port Adelaide from Hawthorn. He didn't want to go. Ended up being part of the Wingard deal. But my experience was really good, but I think there's a lot that happens behind closed doors that the public don't see. So in my case, I actually travelled down in the mid-season bye. So 2017, I came down and met with Chris Davies and the welfare manager at the time. He picked me up from the airport. But they're very shifty AFL clubs. They're very good at it. They put you not on the Virgin flight because all the reporters look at the Virgin. They throw you on Qantas, or they make sure it's a little bit shady how you get here and whatnot. So there's no cameras.
Thought they would have chartered a flight for you.
Yeah, well, they should have. But so I came down, met with Port Adelaide. But then as the season goes, a lot transpires in the back end of the season, and a lot of deals, there's a lot of people talking to different clubs, particularly once finals are out of reach for your club. I think they start to ramp up. So I had a meeting with Hawthorn where Graham Wright at the time came to my house in Brisbane. We had a meeting on the back deck. Then Clarko called a couple of days later. So you have a conversation over the phone. Met with Geelong in a hotel room down in Melbourne. I think I stayed for an extra night or two after a game, and that just fell into place there. And then I was pretty close to going to Carlton as well, and they certainly wine and dine you, Bluey. I don't know whether you've been through that, but they take you down Lygon Street. I didn't want to go to the facilities because facilities to me didn't mean all that much. I was at Brisbane. They don't really have a training base. They're about to have one now. So the facility side of things didn't really bother me. But
Did Brisbane know this was going on at the time?
They didn't. No, they're not aware of it. But I'm sure it's not a shock to them because they would be doing it the other way as well, meeting with people. And deals don't happen this week. Deals happen in the previous months before that. So you have this long lunch, Chris Judd, Stephen Kernahan, like all legends of Carlton are sitting there, Mark Murphy, you're having lunch with the leadership group, Brendan Bolton, and then you walk out of every meeting, you feel like that's the club
just
for
pumped
me.
Their club up.
Yeah, that's the club for me. I love this. And then you walk out, you have your managers there as well. You say, yeah, this is it. This one's for me. And then 24 hours later, you meet with someone else and you're like, yep, this is a place for me.
Wow.
So you're saying yes to everyone. And then it comes down to the personal decision and what's going to be best, I think, for the individual, whether you want to move state. So we had our firstborn, Jack, on the way, and he was due in September, I think, even before the trade period started. So we had a two-week-old when we made the decision to come to Adelaide. We had no family or anything here. So we had to weigh up for us what was going to be best. We thought at the time, Port Adelaide, I felt like Carlton, if I went there, it was sort of similar to Brisbane in that rebuild phase where I thought Port were sort of in that sweet spot. And I think the decision for me in the end was right. We were a kick away from a grand final. I don't think I played my best at Port Adelaide. There's a number of reasons, like shoulders, knees and whatnot. But yeah, it's an interesting process to go through. And as I said before, you leave every meeting, you're like, I love that club. I love what they've presented. I loved what Brendan Bolton presented. I love what Chris Scott presented. I loved what Alistair Clarkson. But at the end of the day, we decided as a family to come down to Port Adelaide.
And financially, was the Port deal better than any of the others?
It wasn't better than the others. So Chris Davies tells a funny story that once I had the long lunch, they had to give me the fourth year because Carlton had that on the table. So that was probably the only one factor, was the fourth year. But other than that, the deals were similar. Probably could have got paid more to go elsewhere,
And what about when you left Brisbane, of course, former captain of the club. Did you leave on good terms?
Like, yeah, I did. Yeah, so...
Because you wanted to stay at Brisbane, but you felt like they were lowballing you.
Yeah, so I spoke about that in the article. So I signed a deal in 2014 at the beginning of the year. I was All-Australian that year, club captain, won a Best and Fairest, was leading the Best and Fairest in 2017 by the length of the straight, then did my shoulder and finished third, I think. So I felt like it was a lowball deal, and they wanted to move on, and I think they've said that. I've had conversations with Chris Fagan post that where he said hindsight, they would have made a different decision. Certain other players left the club within the next 12 months. And so it was just one of those things. And at the end of the day, you've just got to go where you think the best opportunity is going to be for yourself.
And there you go. Haven't looked back ever since.
Haven't looked back ever since.
Here you are.
Entrenched in Adelaide.
After another highly professional week on the Rush Hour.
Triple M and also on the Listener app.
So, it's time for the highlight tapes.
Don't put this in the highlight tapes.
This week has been tough on our hip pockets.
Reserve Bank has lifted the official cash rate by 0.25%.
But thankfully, our resident tight-ass Jars was here to help us with his 5 tight-ass tips.
I'm not a tight-ass.
I asked you and you texted them to me this morning. Oh. Now, number one is do not invest in fashion. At all. Do not spend 1 cent on clothes.
But I like Lululemon.
Good tip, Jars. We'll get back to them shortly. Also this week, we launched a new segment on the show called The Top 3. And didn't it go smoothly?
Our number one top three, well, funny segment in this segment.
Yeah.
What's this segment called again?
Top 3.
Oh, okay.
Top best bits from the show today.
Oh, righto. Yeah.
Right.
And I thought there was an opener.
No. Mm. Yeah.
Hey, oh, I thought I did an opener.
That. There is. Oh, you did it, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was it?
Usually we play the opener at the start.
That's right.
I want to hear it.
It's the Rush Hours.
We're off and about.
Well, off and about now.
One, two.
Top three.
Honestly.
Now, back to Bluey with another Jars tight-ass tip.
When you go into a social setting,
yes, Greg,
make sure you get into a large round, probably like 4 or 5 people plus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when it's your turn to buy, bang, the back door.
Also this week, Jars told us what North Melbourne should get for Jason Horne Francis.
Melbourne have to ask for the world. They have to.
So they have to ask for the world. So they need 2 first-rounders.
Yep.
One this year, one next year. Plus two players.
Give us 2 players.
Give
me a Mitch Georgiadis and give me a Zach Butters.
And the family were very supportive of his thoughts.
Rob from Prospect, good afternoon, Rob.
Jars, what are you on, mate? Seriously.
G'day, Brad. Now, is Jars on to something here or not?
Mate, I reckon Jars has been playing marbles on the weekend. He's locked up his keys again. It's a job, Jarman, mate. He doesn't have to stay at any job. How many employment contracts have you wormed your way out of?
None. Never.
Moving on.
Some great calls.
Yes.
Let's get another Jars tight ass tip.
You've had multiple accidents in your car. Yeah. Do not get them fixed. Save a bit of money. That's what you do. I've never seen a worse car in my life.
Rory Laird joined us last Friday after winning his 3rd Crows Best and Fairest and told us the secret to his success.
Basically, the reason he's won 3.
Oh, you're the mentor. You're the mentor.
It's all about how you start them off and teach them the ropes, Bleep. You agree, lady?
Yeah, no, you took me out for a pizza. big week. I don't know if my skinny's any good, but you did it anyway.
Is there anything else apart from the pizza? What else did he do for you?
No, he didn't talk to me after that for 4 months, so that was it.
Now, what's Jars's 4th tight ass tip, Blue?
Now, your 4th tip.
Oh, here we go, yes.
Bunker down.
Whoa.
Do not leave your suburb. Do not leave your multi-million-dollar house. Don't spend any money on any other one, any other person, on businesses, or don't keep the economy going at all. Bunker down.
And maybe one last tip just to be safe.
If you need something printed at home, don't do it. Do not do it.
Where do you do
it? Wait till you go to work.
Yeah.
And just fly through cartridges like they're going out of fashion and paper.
And that's the highlight tapes for this week.
What's wrong? I thought that was good.